Welcome, everybody, to the Mitts and Twigs podcast. I am Mitts. He's Twigs. We are going to be your home for the next 45, 50 minutes for all things hockey. Thank you for joining us. As always, my man, Ty, how are you feeling? How's your week been?
It's been wicked, man. Had the week off. A little bit of R&R, you know, rest and relaxation. Good, feeling fresh. Watched a bunch of hockey. Ready for this episode. Let's do it.
Nice. Okay. I'm doing fine. Thank you for asking. that's a little double shot, you know, Easter egg in a sure. Oh man. Feels weird to segue this because, you know, we're starting off with a chuckle, but the first thing we do need to point out, which is no laughing matter, is passing of NHL legend Guy Lafleur. Thoughts and prayers to everybody in, you know, his family, all the fans. His biggest impact on the NHL was before both of our times, really, as we talked about beforehand. But the mark he left on the game is still obvious to this day. The original flower. So, you know, we've had two beautiful, amazing flowers in the NHL so far. Excited to see what the next one is. Marc-Andre is still with us, of course. Yeah. That was a bit of a ramble rant, starting off on the right foot here, gang. But yeah, most importantly, thoughts and prayers to the Lafleur family. What a legend.
Yeah, I don't have much more to add to that other than, you know, change the game. Best head of hair in hockey. And I feel for his family. You know, he passed away fairly young. Thoughts and prayers as well.
Yeah. All right, gang. Let's kick it off. Let's get going on this. No more respectful talk. Let's get real. Future friend of the show, Robin Leonard, has been in the news, unfortunately, of late. Time of recording earlier this week, the rumor came out that he was shutting it down, that he was getting season-ending surgery. Vegas still has 4 games left, if I'm not mistaken, maybe 3. Again, time of recording. And they're still pushing for that last playoff spot. They're in the hunt. Obviously it'd be a pretty big blow to any hopes that they have. Guy's been playing hurt for quite some time, and the fans, I don't want to say the Vegas fans, I'll just say hockey fans in general, because it's who knows who they're really cheering for, but people have been lambasting him online and just really tearing into him. This is a guy that has openly talked about his struggle and his battling with mental health, has really brought that to the forefront, made it acceptable for a lot of more players to speak out and speak up about that. Unfortunately, there's just this toxic fan base out there that just doesn't even consider that, doesn't think about the fact that this guy's been playing hurt and he's trying his best and he's out there doing it, but it's not, he's getting just lambasted by the fans. They're not having results on the ice, and he maybe doesn't feel like he's being appreciated. So, yeah, this led to a little bit of a, I don't want to call it a Twitter war, but there were those on the Twitterverse that were reporting that he was going to be out for a stretch, and then there were others that were reporting that was a false report, that Vegas was denying this. Elliot Friedman, I think, summed it up as basically being, Leonard's felt underappreciated and borderline attacked while playing hurt and doesn't feel like he's been supported by the team. And so he wanted to shut it down. And at the time of recording, this is, you know, 3 on this episode already. I'll try to keep those ones out of there, but time of recording, Vegas is playing tonight. And Vegas is hoping he dresses for the game or is available for the game. I don't think we're seeing a lot out of Robin on it publicly. I don't know. I'm not sure how to pitch this to you, Ty, but this is, what a mess. What an absolute mess.
Well, I feel like we talked about a couple of weeks ago, and if you didn't listen to that episode about the Calgary Flames and Sean Monahan, and I've talked about it a lot, actually, fan favorite player, and where the NHL and teams expect these players to have warrior mentalities and play through injuries and all that. And I will say this is, if he is feeling undervalued and underappreciated and all these things, which rightfully could be so, nobody's in Robin Leonard's head, but Robin Leonard, then yeah, if he thinks surgery is the best option for him, I'm sorry. That's what he probably should do, right? So playing through an injury isn't easy, you know, in the first place, especially playing the goaltender position where you're moving the whole game. There's no breaks. There's no nothing. You're getting pucks shot at you at crazy speeds and you're bouncing against the posts and all that. So is the situation wild? Like, it's crazy to see that, you know, a team that's fighting for the playoffs, you know, their star goalie and the one that they chose is now, you know, saying he's hurt and all that. And really, it's hard to report anything on this or comment on, because none of us know what's going on, right? Like Elliot's quote, I'll read the full thing real quick because it's hilarious. There are two reports that Robin Leonard is out for the rest of the year having surgery. I've heard the same rumors. Vegas has disputed that. Today they said they were hopeful that he'd be in the lineup tomorrow, right? And then he said, like, this is nothing. Like, we're not reporting. I'm just basically spitballing what he said. Nobody's talking, but this is the best what I could piece together. What happened to Leonard, who's playing hurt, was upset at some criticism and also being pulled the other night and believed he informed the Golden Knights on Thursday night that he was going to have surgery and shut it down. I think the last 24, 48 hours, everybody involved was trying to see if there was a solution to all this that would have him in the lineup. I guess we're going to find out tomorrow night. Like, nobody knows, right? I don't even know if Robin knows right now, right? Like, on the flip side, this is some Vegas karma, right? This is huge Vegas karma. This is the team that has shown players no loyalty. No, nothing. They'll turn on you. They'll trade you. They signed Paul Stastny and moved him very fairly quickly, right? You're basically just a player that's supposed to, there's no allegiance to them, right? Like, they don't care. So now it's funny to see that Leonard can see that and he's like, no, I'm going to do what's best for me, right? And how can you fault him? Mm-hmm. Especially, like, we just watched the Marc-Andre Fleury situation just happen, right? We just watched that in front of our eyes. And now everybody's like, there's people that are still on Vegas' side. And those are, like Matt said, the toxic fans. No, it's, if he feels like he can't play and he's already playing hurt, and feels like he's given it his all and the team doesn't give a crap, then yeah, shut it down. And, it's probably, you know, tough for that fan base to realize that, but Robin Leonard sees how Vegas treats players. He just watched it happen with Fleury. And yeah, it's one of the more wild things to happen. It really is.
Yeah. I want to cop this. I have on this podcast, you know, complimented the Vegas management staff for the way that they were able to, you know, get stuff done. You know, they just get it done. They make it happen. They're bold and they've been, you know, called decisive and whatnot in the past. And yeah, this is, you know, not that this is about me, but I just want to kind of cop to the fact that I was, you know, I'm just in the wrong with this. Like, I think that I was looking at it in a different light than what it's being exposed as. And it looks like really more and more now just another example of this toxic hockey culture where you've got a guy who's been playing hurt. So right there, probably shouldn't be happening, because we've seen there's been I don't want to call them highlights, but clips of Leonard's play of late where he doesn't even move for the puck because he's hurt, because he can't bend that way or flex that way. Like, he's clearly not playing well, and it's an injury that's nagging. It's not going to just get better on its own. So let's say he does play the next couple of games and they squeak into the playoffs. He's gonna be ready for a playoff run? No. So that's what's so short-sighted and selfish about this, and ridiculous, and you know, shame on the management of Vegas for even trying to consider this. If he says he's shutting it down, okay, then who do we have goaltending wise? I know that they probably feel a little bit depleted there, but that's just the case. You know, you're not gonna get a better performance out of a banged up, you know, guy who's feeling completely unappreciated. You know, he's not going to go out there and be that warrior that you think you need. Put in a guy who's trying to earn his spot, next man up. sign somebody, put in, you know, an e-book. Sorry, that's just how it goes. Like, you've got to get this next guy in there. So, yeah, they have too many examples in the last year of Vegas just treating players terribly. And not even just, you know, being about the business, but almost like overtly, you know, the whole thing about trading Marc-Andre Fleury and like the comment of letting him find out via Twitter, because it was as like a, I wanted to get you back moment, you know, that's childish, that's immature. And there's no place that in any business world, or any professional environment. And
basically your franchise, right?
Yeah, that's just it. I get it. If you maybe you can save money, but moving on a player and you feel like you got a good player there, you don't have to be a dick about it. Like that, really, that should have been the lot. Like that should have been it. It should, like, they should have been cleaning house, but you know, they accept it. They encourage it there, unfortunately. I don't say I don't feel bad for Jack Eichel, but I feel like now it's got to be this ironic spot where he left this organization that was kind of treating him like crap and, you know, seemed to have a bit of a toxic culture to it. And he goes to this other organization hoping the grass will be greener, only to find out that it's just warmer. It's the same bleep grass that he had. It's just warmer and drier in Vegas than it is in Buffalo. So, yeah, first and foremost, I hope Robin's okay. I hope Robin Leonard is able to do what's best for him and his long-term health, both mental and physical. That's what I want of this situation. I want Vegas to face the music. I'm not trying to be vengeful of them. I don't say, you know, but this is what they've made. This is the team they've built. You've made your bed, now lie in it.
Well, it's so, like, even like you said, Matt, it's the team they built. They're still $20 million over the cap, right? Like, they're not hurting. They still have more stars than any team in the league, and they still can't like put together get healthy enough to put a run together.
Yeah.
I just want to say really quick, we don't know all the details. We're saying our thing off of the details that have been released right now. If Robin Leonard comes out and plays today and it was just a misunderstanding and the media was just like kind of like firing this up, then we apologize to both. But like, really, this is a very unique situation that we have to talk about. Mm-hmm. It doesn't happen very often. But again, like, I think our perspectives are, we've seen this now with Dadonov, Stastny, Fleury. Who else was it? There was a few other guys before that as well. Orion Reeves. Like, Vegas doesn't care. No. And we're also saying that you don't have to care. You're allowed to trade players, right? You are.
Yeah. The
road, karma is going to catch up to you. There's going to be a player that says, no, I'm looking out for me. And if you're looking out for you, I got to look out for me, right? And that's what Robin Leonard's doing. And I applaud him that, because there's going to be some criticism that's going to come his way, even if it's like fair or unfair, right? He's going to handle it. And good for him to know when to shut it down, because a lot of players don't.
Yeah. No, I think, as you said, maybe this is an unfortunately media contrived thing. We'll find out in the next couple of days. But at the end of the day, Vegas has shown us who they are over and over again. And when somebody tells you who they are, believe them. You know, they're showing their true colors. This is who they are. And I think Robin is a player that, you know what, maybe it will turn out that we jumped the gun and we jumped to his defense too quickly. But I'm happy to make that mistake in his case, because this is a guy that deserves a lot more credit and a lot more respect and deserves to be believed, you know? I'm fine with it if we overstep and there's a misunderstanding, because in this case, Vegas is a serial abuser and Robin is somebody that speaks up about these things normally. He's been really quiet right now, so we'll see what happens. I don't know, but like, let's kind of talk about that a little bit. Let's talk about Vegas in less of a I'm so disappointed in you way, but what are they going to do? Playoffs or not, going into the next year, there's nobody of substance, like contract-wise, coming off the books. Everybody that they have that's, I think, off the top of my head, that's over $4 million a year is signed at least for next year. So they've got to move players. Clearly, they've already shown their hand that they wouldn't mind moving Dadonov, even though he's played great for them after the fact. So that's $5 million off. I got to assume that they'll try to move, say, like a Pacioretty. Or maybe after all this, they'll try to ship out Leonard, and maybe Leonard will go somewhere else. But then they've got no goaltending behind Leonard of substance. They've got nothing in the cupboard to trade for a goaltender that's both good and affordable.
Yeah.
You know, like where is this team? They don't have any young and up and coming talent. And all of their, or most of their biggest contracts are to guys that are 30 and older.
Yeah.
And for years, like, I can't remember who I was talking to about somebody about this. They talked about, it may have been you, but somebody trading Pietrangelo. But Pietrangelo's like early 30s. I want to say 33, 34. Maybe I'm way off.
And you can't move him either. He's got no move.
He's got no move. And he's got what? 6 years left, 7 years left at like 7 or 8 million.
Yeah. He's got lots.
Who's taking that on?
$9 million almost.
Who's going to take that on? Who's going to take a defenseman that is, I mean, Pietrangelo's still playing well, but he's got to be passive prime. He's certainly not, doesn't have a lot of prime years left. Who, outside of, you know, a weird Phoenix type move because they're icing a college hockey team and they need somebody to put the salary floor up on them.
Yeah.
This is, they've put themselves in a place, and I think this is to tie it back to like earlier in the season, like where I was maybe complimentary towards Vegas about how they're always able to make all this stuff happen and bring in these contracts and these big players and thinking like, wow, like they must have a plan. To me, it's plainly obvious they don't have a plan. Their plan is, oh, that's shiny, that's new, let's get that.
Yep.
And figure it out down the road.
Which I don't mind that. Like, you still look at that team. There's still Mark Stone, Jack Eichel, Pacioretty, Jonathan Marchessault, who's been huge. Chandler Stephenson was a find. Pietrangelo, Shea Theodore, who, like, they stole in the expansion draft. Robin Leonard is still at, like, a crazy cost at $5 million. You don't get a starting goalie for $5 million. Especially that with his, like, his ability to play at that level is he's top 10 NHL goalie. So they lose Riley Smith, right? That's $5 million that comes off. I'm sure Dadonov is gone. That's another $5 million. So that's 10. Other than that, I'm sure they're trying to beg how to get William Karlsson out, you know. That's $6 million that, you know, he's a great player. He's a above average player, but he's not the player that he was when he signed that contract. And good on him. He, you know, contract year, put up some huge numbers. Was it like 40 goals or something like that? And he earned that money. But when you're at a cap crunch, there has to be some casualties. And sadly, I don't even know if Kelly McCrimmon, even though I like what he's done with the team, and I don't know if he's going to be there. Like, you got to think if I can't imagine anybody coming out of like Vegas, not making the playoffs, like not being fired.
Yeah.
You've now botched the Fleury. You've botched the Reeves. You've botched Leonard, right? Jack Eichel hasn't fit in seamlessly. Jack Eichel is going to be Jack Eichel. Like, I'm not worried about Jack Eichel. He's coming off a huge surgery, all that. Mm-hmm. We already knew he was going to take a little bit of time. And he still played good. Mark Stone's been hurt. Like, this team's still really good. They should not be missing the playoffs. When we talked preseason, we're like, it's Vegas and nobody else, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe Edmonton, but like Vegas, 100% top three team. And they just haven't lived up to it. But yeah. Riley Smith, Dadonov, Karlsson would be my guesses. I can't see, like, everybody else has got no moves. Like, this team is like a bunch of 30-year-olds with no moves. Like, how do you move them? You can't move them.
Is Pacioretty, I thought it was a modified no, but maybe I'm wrong.
I just think Pacioretty's contract really isn't that bad.
And I think the reason that I picked on him is because he is still really talented.
He's very talented.
And I think he only has 1 year left on 7.
So
I thought, like, that's a contract that you could move to free up a lot of space, and that somebody else would be like, yeah, we'll take a top six goal scorer of his caliber for 1 year at $7 million. Like, if they've got room, there's a lot of teams that would be able to fit that in, say if, you know, let's say New York gets bounced in the first round of the playoffs this year, I could see New York bringing in, you know, wanting to make a big splash to pick up the goal scoring, because their 5-on-5 numbers have not been great. That's what I just think that makes the most sense. But yeah, I don't know. I guess we shouldn't be writing them off too hard. Wasn't that long ago that we were considering them to be a favorite. But yeah, you just look at these contracts, you look at the team and what seems to be kind of a lack of culture right now. I don't know. I wonder if Vegas can support a team that's not of championship caliber. I think that's part of maybe that's too far down the line, but you look at that as like the first year Vegas had a team, it was novelty. It was really exciting. Yeah. And then they had a big run. So that's going to get fans in the building. And they've been competitive the last couple of years too, where they've looked like they could go all the way. If they miss the playoffs this year, they still have a mostly star-studded lineup to go into next year. Oh. But everybody on their team is 1 year older. Tons of contracts that are almost impossible to move with lots of term left. Potentially, they are blowing up their goaltending situation through poor management. What happens if this team becomes, you know, misses the playoffs 2-3 years in a row?
Yeah, I don't know if I see them missing. I think this is Vegas scared me all like this last little run here, these last few weeks, because it just like was so reminiscent of like the LA Kings when they were the 8 seed. They had Richards, they have Carter, they had Kopitar, they had Doughty, they had Quick. Like, that team like should not have been the 8th seed. You know what I mean? And then they went on and won the cup. This team is just, it's built for the playoffs. When you bring in a player like Eichel halfway through the year, it never works that well, right? Like, especially coming off a huge, there's no time to, you know, bond. There's no time to get chemistry. There's no training camp. There's no nothing, right? Mm-hmm. So, yes, are there going to be some players moved in the offseason? There has to be. You have to. You're over the cap, $20 million. They're solid in goal. They're solid in D. They have some of the best forwards in the league. This team won't miss next year. I can't see them missing next year. Now, they have to move one big name. And I think there's another huge thing with Vegas is, what is Mark Stone's health? What is it? Like, he's got this lingering back injury, and it's just not healing. And I remember when he signed that contract, everybody was like, man, that's such a steal for Mark Stone. But then there was like a lot of players, a lot of analysts and people that follow him closely are like, yeah, it's an awesome contract right now. The way he plays and how he's not a great skater and he's had back problems and all that stuff, that contract's not going to look good in the second half. And we're getting to the second half of that contract. And if he can stay healthy, which, you know, hopefully I hope he does, that could be a problem for Vegas as well.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. Maybe missing the playoffs if they do this year, that's still very much up in the air, but maybe if they could miss the playoffs, be the first time in their franchise history, it would be what's best for a lot of the players. Give them that time to heal up, to rest. Playoffs is a heck of a slog for these guys. It's just extra wear and tear that the other people in the league don't have to put up with. So I could see that being a factor, I guess. Last question, yes or no. Just thought of this, no preparation time.
Oh boy.
Are the Vegas Knights America's answer to the Toronto Maple Leafs?
Like, you're talking hype wise?
All the hype, all the superstars. I'm thinking back to like those Leafs teams pre-salary cap, like where they've just bringing all the superstars all the time. Just could never quite put it together. We in the media, because I just want a chance to say that, can't stop talking about them, whether it's good or bad. Every week it seems to be something that we have to talk about with Vegas. So
yeah. I'll say this, in the cap world, what Vegas has done is incredible. In an expansion team, what Vegas has done is incredible. I don't know if they're the American answer to Toronto Maple Leafs, because that's like another beast, where, you know, it's Toronto or bust, right? Like, TSN basically can't get off of them. It's just awful. Yo, like, it's so bad. I still think New York is probably bigger than Vegas hype-wise. I think the Rangers, who won't pass Carolina. Carolina keeps winning, and I have a tweet ready and to like just blast Matt about how like he said my take was awful, but Carolina keeps winning, and I'm getting choked here. Sorry, off topic. I think New York is bigger, but yeah, I don't know. Vegas, it's funny to see a team like that not make it, and then you watch like the Tampa Bay Lightning, and they add somebody like, it was a couple of years ago, it was Goudreau, and it was Coleman, and it was like not the flashy name, and that put them over, right? And I think Vegas just has to look at themselves. Maybe we don't need the shiniest toy every single time. Maybe we need that guy who knows their third line role, like a Ryan Reeves, who we just moved out, right? Who we just got rid of, and try to go that route. And I hope they do that. I don't know if they tried to do that with Dadonov. It's work though. And then they try to trade him, and now he's playing amazing.
Hilarious. And look, we got our bare minimum Toronto Maple Leaf content requirement right there too. So
no more.
Boom, done. You know, this is not directly related to the Vegas Golden Knights. I don't want people to think this is Vegas Golden Knights podcast. It is a hockey podcast. I want to shout out Tage Thompson. Not only was he a Blues draft pick, man, we can spot talent. We had to send him over to Buffalo in the Ryan O'Reilly trade. Do it again in a moment. Ryan helped us get that Stanley Cup. Ryan O'Reilly is the best. But Tage Thompson is turning out to be something pretty spectacular as well. I won't say he's helping Buffalo forget who Jack Eichel is, but I will mention that Tage Thompson has time recording. Is 37 goals in the year. Jack Eichel's highest goal total as Buffalo Sabre in any season was 36. So it's maybe not totally fair to throw Tage Thompson into that, because obviously Jack Eichel has a lot more around him in terms of what was expected of him coming in and what he's already accomplished, let's say, in hockey. But shout out to Tage Thompson and the Buffalo Sabres, who, after moving out of Eichel, have, I don't want to say turn it around, but they've got some nice things that going on there. They've really managed to kind of polish up that turd. Sorry. I'm trying to say something nice about Buffalo Sabres. I just can't get over the fact that they still, you know, treated Jack like that. But they've really turned around their season quite a bit, I think, from being one that was butt end of a joke for the entire league to... they've had a little bit of a nice run and a little nice second half, and probably for fans of Buffalo and for super fan Trev, who is a buddy of mine, big Sabres guy, they've given them a lot of hope. So, you know, good on them. I know you said no more Maple Leafs content, but I think they swept the season series with the Maple Leafs. So that's, as super fan Trev pointed out, that's basically their Stanley Cup.
Hey, this is Jason Botterill was right. You know what I mean? He was right. Everybody gave him flack all those years for trading Ryan O'Reilly for this giant 6'7" Tage Thompson that didn't look like he could play at all. And all of a sudden he's there, he's made it. Like, this kid is, if the NHL did the most improved player, how could you not give it to Tage Thompson? The only thing Tage Thompson doesn't like to do is play defense. I'll give him that. He hates defense. Just give him the puck in the O-zone and he's going to put that baby in the net. It's awesome. It's a great building block for Buffalo. Rasmus Dahlin's played well. Dylan Cousins is still there. They have a lot of young prospects that have come. Owen Power got what he scored his goal the other night.
Yeah.
It's exciting times for Buffalo, because I think when you have that Jack Eichel looming, and this is still on Kevin Adams, that dickhead. Sorry, we can bleep that out. He's doing a nice job, but they botched the Jack Eichel. They could have gotten more. Peyton Krebs is looking good, but they could have gotten more. I'm happy for the fans of Buffalo. You can tell by their ticket sales that Buffalo fans still aren't happy, which I don't blame them. Why would you spend money on a team that clearly hasn't shown you anything in the past? How long? But this is the right step. This is a good step. And who doesn't get any love, who should be getting love, is Jeff Skinner. Good on Jeff Skinner. He's having, over 30 goals? Like, nobody's talking.
I think so, yeah.
Like, how many years, like, Ralph Krueger hated Jeff Skinner, was playing fourth line. He's like, I hate this man. And now he's got 33, he's got 62 points in 78 games for a Buffalo Sabres team that doesn't score a lot. So this is awesome. I'm happy for him. And Tage Thompson, sell high. Like, this is the crazy thing. Would you sell high? Like, I'd be so tempted. He's got how many goals? 37 or something?
37 goals, yeah.
37 goals, 29 assists, 64 points. Would you sell high on Tage Thompson?
You know, that's tough. I think I always feel like that, this is one of the things I love about the Blues GM, President Doug Armstrong. Can't remember his exact title, but man in charge. Is it, he always says, like, he's always open to a conversation. Like, he's not going to trade Ryan O'Reilly, but he's willing to listen to the offer because he'd be crazy not to. The idea of having, like, anybody being off limits is silly, yeah. Realistically, you know? If somebody wanted to give you 47 consecutive first round picks for Tage Thompson, you take it. You just like, yeah, the NHL won't allow it, but you say yes, because you'd be crazy to say no. I think Buffalo, I would say initially no, because this is like the guy is amazing. He's playing so well. He's coming into that role. He's done it because of his success and because of the way he's been able to perform. He's immediately taken a lot of public pressure off of Peyton Krebs, which is amazing, because coming in off that Jack Eichel trade, that was going to be the story, is like, where is Peyton? Is he living up to this? Is he good enough? Did we get hosed on this deal? Tage Thompson has covered all of that up by playing so well. Jeff Skinner as well, with his, you know, resurgence has helped with that quite a bit too. You know, we've got Owen Power coming in. It's a great story. They've really kind of turned the narrative around. And I think that the only way you make this trade is, one, if you were planning for like a longer term rebuild. You know, if you thought we're at day one of a 4 or 5 year rebuild, it doesn't really do us any good to have a guy who's having a breakout crazy season like this. Other than it might help ticket sales, it might be difficult to fans. But if somebody comes to you and they offer you an amazing deal for Thompson,
yeah,
you might have to take it. You know, you might have to just take it and just sell it. Like you said, sell high, because maybe this ends up being, you know, like, maybe
it's a hot take question. It's a hot take-ish question. Like, you usually don't ask somebody after they score 37 goals, hey, should we sell high on this guy? You know what I mean?
Yeah, but maybe he's the next Jeff Skinner.
He's got one more year at 1.4.
Man. Yeah, super affordable, wonderful.
And he's an RFA.
Like, yeah. That's a big reason to not, obviously, have that controllable. I think he's 24, maybe 25, you know. Great age to have a player coming into his own like that. But yeah, I mean, I could see it if the offer's there, because who wouldn't want to add that guy? But like I said, no offense to Jeff Skinner, but this is a guy that came out and at, like, what was it, like 18, 19, lit up the league, started to get huge contracts. And yeah, like he can still score, but, you know.
Agent's amazing. His agent is amazing.
Like, his agent is amazing.
Goes from,
so, I don't know,
24 goals, scores 40 goals first year with Buffalo, gets a $9 million deal. And then, yeah, good on Jeff Skinner.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No hate on Jeff Skinner for making that money. That's fantastic. And that's awesome for him. And yeah, owners and management in hockey need to stop blaming players for being offered such big contracts and losing all their money. But yeah.
Signed. Yep.
Man, that's enough about those guys. Let's move on to something. I don't know where we're going to go with this, but Ty, biggest news of the week, at least if you're paying attention to Twitter, was Leah Hextall. Leah Hextall doing the ice side. I can't remember the proper term for that. Gosh, I don't want to be Leah Hextall by flubbing that, you know, being wrong. But Leah Hextall had what is largely being considered a pretty cringeworthy day at work, with her play-by-play of Pat Matty Maroon and Wayne Simmonds going back and forth chirping. And yeah, I think a very poorly delivered and very unfortunately incorrect line in an interview with Wayne Simmonds after the fact.
Yeah, it was, you know what? Like, here, first of all, I love Leah Hextall's energy when she was like bringing the question. It was scream Pierre Maguire type question, like just scream. Like, I was like, oh my gosh. But she was like, now tell me this and this. She was gone. She was ready for this question. And yeah, it wasn't right. Like, that's what it was. I can't believe, like, of course it blew up because it's the Toronto Maple Leafs. And how dare you ask somebody of Wayne Simmonds' strength and ability to check and ability to fight if he's soft. I had no problem with Leah Hextall's question. I wish she would have maybe, you know, done a little bit of homework before she said the question so she didn't make herself so cringy. But I don't have a problem with the question. I don't understand why there's like not Tim Peel. Who's the ref? I can't remember the person there was. There's a ref, and he went on like a huge Twitter rampage. There was a lot of people just going at Leah Hextall. And I go, well, I hope you've never messed up at work. Like, I really hope you've never messed up at work to be going at Leah Hextall like this. Yeah, so get off your high horse. People make mistakes. It was highly entertaining. It was hilarious. It brought eyeballs to the NHL, even though it's such a dumb thing too. Like, how much backlash it got. I go,
I think it is Tim Peel. I think you're right.
Was I Tim Peel?
Yeah. Also, shout out Danny Heatley, who with his Heat Daddy still has just the worst hockey takes. I mean, this is not to rant about it, but if there's anybody in hockey that no one needs to hear from, Danny Heatley.
Danny Heatley.
Just take your money, STFU,
yep.
Go away.
Yeah.
Done.
I don't know. What I'm going to do is I'm going to play the clip like right now. And then it'll be cut in, and then, yeah. But and I'd love to, like, if you're watching this on YouTube, you know, tell us what you think, because it's interesting. I don't know, realize the huge uproar on it, but maybe I'm just not seeing it the right way. Yes, Leah Hextall probably should have done her homework, but I love the energy. Bring that energy every day, because a lot of these reporters are boring, man.
Yeah. Well, I think I want to take a moment to say Darren Panger is just the best. Panger's the best at that. Of anybody. Pierre Maguire is and was so atrocious that anybody in there is welcome. I was going over this and I have so many feelings about this one way or the other. None of them overly strong, but because it's easy enough for me to just see it and be like, I don't really care. It doesn't affect me. I don't know them. I'm going to go turn around. I don't need to be involved in this. But I think what's unfortunate is, one, anytime you're in front of a camera like that, you have a shorter leash than, you know, we all screw up at our job. And you and I, in our short experiences on this podcast, we flub stuff all the time.
Hard.
Which I think is just, I think I misnamed Igor Shesterkin. I think off the top of my head, you claimed UC Saros played for Dallas at one point. You know, like, these are mistakes that are easy enough to make when you're just speaking in the moment and you're unedited, and it's easy to make these mistakes. And really, how easy is it for her to have accidentally said, I know you fought before, when she was thinking, I know you haven't fought before? But you can't, you know, and when you're on live, sometimes you don't have the opportunity to say, oh, sorry, let me start that over again. Or, oh, whoops, I misspoke. Because you've already kicked the question over. And then you realize.
So confident, too. Like, there was so much energy in it.
Or maybe you've got, like, an assistant. You're like, hey, can you look up real fast to see if they fought before? And they're like, yeah, they did. And you're like, okay, great. And then, you know, the person feeding you that line, it's so easy to make that mistake. And I also want to point out that, as I just did, as we all have, Pierre Maguire probably had the most verbal abuse or just the most abuse of anybody that worked in that position. Legitimately so for some of it, because he really stinks at that job, and kind of looks like he stinks at his new job too with Ottawa. Shout out Pierre stinking. Yeah. But there's a part of that that there has to be that's a part of criticizing. We all do that. We all do that when we're watching sports. We have our preferred announcers, our the ones we hate that are doing our play-by-play. Heck, some of the most famous ones in the world, you know, like Joe Buck, Chris Collinsworth, Al Michaels for sports and football. And people, you find people like, I hate that guy. When he starts speaking, I mute the TV. I want to punch him in the face. I think we're accustomed to that. And I think that that doesn't translate nearly as well in a space where, you know, a traditionally male role is being filled by a woman. And so even where you might say some of it isn't, some of it is just that general, I'm going to complain because I always talk smack about who's ever doing play-by-play. That's what I do. Yeah. And I feel like I want to say there needs to be space for that. But as soon as you start to say that, you look at all the other comments, and you hear the other people that are on your side of that argument that are like, yeah, tell her to get back in the kitchen. And it's like, whoa, yeah. Whoa. I'm trying to critique somebody on the merit of their talent. I don't think we need to bring that in there. And so that's immediately the market. And then of course you've got to the Toronto media base. It's going to just blow that up even larger. And it's like, all we wanted to do was say that that was a stupid question. I don't know why we have to then all of a sudden then it becomes a question about gender. It becomes a question about, you know, the Hextall name. Was there favoritism? Did she get the job because she's a Hextall and her whole family's in the Hall of Fame? And it's like, damn, we should be able to be in a space where we can say, ha ha, that was a stupid question, and not worry about either people assuming that we're sexist, awful people, but also people understanding right off the bat that that's not the intention behind it. So I don't wish Leah any ill at all. And I don't think that she needs to get pulled from, like, people calling for her job and calling, it's just ridiculous.
Could you imagine calling for somebody's job over that comment? Like, I have my takes on, like, Leah Hextall, Louis DeBrusque, Cassie Campbell. There's tons of them, right? Like, there's lots I don't like. And it's not anything to do with gender. It's nothing to do with that. Like, if I'm watching an Oilers game and those two are on, Jack Michaels, that's who the other guy is. That's muted. I can't stand it. Or there's Stockhouse or whatever his name in Vancouver. Yeah, that's the other guy. Can't handle him, right? Like, you just have your takes. The only thing Leah Hextall should probably do is make sure she knows, right, next time. But really, it's not a big deal. It's really not. No. Frick, mess up 1,000 times. She just got how many clicks for that? She probably got bad hate for it too, but people are dumb and don't know anything, because if you're getting triggered over that, then you need to check yourself a little bit, because that is wild. And bravo Wayne Simmons, because I thought his response was hilarious. It was like, ask him. I've never fought him. He never obliges. I'm like, that's wicked. That's perfect. Like, that's a perfect answer for that. He didn't shame or didn't do anything. He took the question, even though it was wrong, right? How many times did these guys get asked wrong questions? All the time. So
yeah,
not a big deal. Get over it, NHL world.
Yeah. At least he didn't say, I don't know, you tell me, Leah, you're the expert.
Yeah.
No, I think that as a summary of it, people need to relax. If somebody in that role screws up, it's not the end of the world. It's really not that big a deal. We got to be able to get to a place where it's okay to say, wow, what a dumb question. And that's just it. We move on. You know, that's just it. And we move on. There doesn't need to be anything. She's not the worst person in the world. She didn't kill anybody. She's doing a great job.
Guy, he was soft. She asked the guy if she owned that. That's what she asked. Yeah. You know what? We're going to move on.
Oh, I think that that's just about, we've said enough for the most part. I think we don't need to say anything more today. We're talking ourselves into a tizzy. Vegas, stop being jerks. Leah, keep doing your job. Everybody online, stop being jerks. People in general, stop being jerks. I don't know if that's too much to ask.
Yeah. Thompson, you're amazing.
And shout out Virginia. This is out of nowhere. I understand that. This week, we saw a really, really great surge in podcast interest. And don't know why. Don't care. Any click, any download is a good download from our books. But for some weird reason, We are huge of Virginia right now. So I wanted to give a big shout out to whomever that is in there listening to us, even if it is as a drinking game or as a joke or who knows why. We're on board with it. If you're in Virginia and you're listening, hit us up on Twitter, give us a rating, hopefully a good one. Let us in on the gag. Who knows? But yeah, just wanted to make a point of mentioning that. So
love you, Virginia.
Let me get some shirts made. I'm huge in Virginia.
Yeah, that's it. That's our first t-shirt. I love it.
Yeah. Oh, gang, it's about that time, I think, where we put the episode to bed.
The famous outros.
Famous outro.
Famous outro.
Pull the curtain back a little bit. Gang, Ty was getting so tired of these famous outros that he just ended recording. So if this feels a little bit choppy, a little bit weird, apologies. I did my best to edit it back together. But yeah, since Ty so passive aggressively tried to end the episode, I won't go on a long rant. I'll just say thank you all for listening, not just to those in Virginia, but especially those in Virginia. We'll tune into this episode next week where we'll be talking playoffs. Oh my God, Ty, next week the playoffs start. How excited are you?
I'm pumped. You know, both our teams are in. I'm ready to go. I sent out a tweet that was just like, I'm excited for playoffs. And I got a little bit of backlash from a certain someone and don't know why. I don't want to watch Buffalo and New Jersey. No offense, super fan Trev. Is it Trev? I think it's Trev. No offense. I just don't want to watch them. I'm ready to watch best on best. These guys have earned it. Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah. There's some exciting battles left. Some placements, but we'll talk about that next week. We'll see how it all shakes out. By the time we record next week, we'll still have arguably the most important game of the season, Winnipeg, Seattle, left to play. So we'll try to fit some playoff projections in with that big monumental breakdown that we're going to talk about there. But for my man Twigs, for myself, Matty Mitz, thank you all very much. Have a wonderful week. Don't be jerks.
Don't be jerks.